Greetings, and welcome to Bear Soup. News, skews, interviews, and schmooze for the online Ursine community. I'm your host, Ron Serratia. We have a really interesting show for you this week, bubbling up in the Bear Soup hot tub, so listen up. In this 77th serving of Bear Soup, the concluding part of Does D Mean Four Ways? A short story from 100% Beef magazine. Letter written in response to the By Men's story, Does D Mean Four Ways? To the editor of Beef magazine. A short piece on Joe Novotny, the bearish gay reading clerk of the U.S. House of Representatives. Shoutouts and the usual bear-themed hoo-ha. We're locked and loaded, so stand back. You're just in time for Bear Soup. Welcome to Bear Soup. This is Ron Serratia, casting my pod to you through the mysterious tubes of the interweb from southeastern coastal Connecticut, USA. Presumably, you can tell without seeing me that I am recording this stark naked in a steamy outdoor hot tub. Well, that's what the rubber duckies are for. Clothing optional. Bear Soup is sponsored by the Bookish Bears at Bare Bones Books.
Ron's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
First up, here's the conclusion of the story, Does D Mean Four Ways? Written by Stuart Oakwood and published in 100% Beef magazine. I don't know if it was some mysterious transfer of hormones or what, but Louise made it happen for me. In the transition from the rush of almost choking to the rush of the stinging slap to the rush of opening my throat and bonding for Luis, I knew my body had merged into a new way of being. Luis started probing gently. I was a little scared. I didn't want to choke again, but I was tempted to relive the whole body sensation of the gag reflex and the humiliating burn of the slap all rolled up into an intense 2-second adventure down the Amazon. Adrenaline turned me into an unstoppable dick pig. Luis put both hands behind my head. I braced my hands on his tight thighs and felt him press deep into my throat. My little mouth strained to fit around his thick tulle, and my throat somehow just knew to relax and let the dick have its way. I choked. Slap! The breath snorted out of my nose, wet and excited. My body trembled. Poco a poco. He whispered gently, keeping it in me, but letting me get my bearings before he went at it again. This was the coolest roller coaster ride ever invented, and I was feeling everything like it was a challenge, an invitation to self-control. At first, I closed my eyes tight and thought of something else. Then I started feeling the regular rhythm of his fucking. A few thrusts as deep as he could, cutting off my breath and forcing my throat muscles to relax against the pressure of his meat. Then a few shallow strokes to let me gasp for air, and then the deep thrusts. Every once in a while, he'd park his head deep in the back of my throat, rock it back and forth a few times. He'd push in far enough for me to feel the hair on his enormous balls brushing my chin. Then he'd slap the back of my head hard with his meaty hand, and my whole body would tingle with an electricity that I had never felt before. Just as I was quivering with the need to breathe, he pulled back and let me pant through my nose. I have no memory of how long this lasted, but by the end, my eyes were watering, my nose was full of snot, and I had drooled all over the shirts on the floor. I was a mess, and a happy mess, not just for all the dick I was getting, but also for the new way I had learned to experience sex. You see, I couldn't have explained it then, but there is a moment in all of this when you're not just playing games of dominance and submission anymore. That's just a gateway to a bigger playing field where you aren't man or woman or even in or out of control. Instead, you're tapping into the enormous power of sex and abandoning your ego to it, and instead, you're flying or sailing or doing something crazy on the wind. You're not just having sex with another person, you're having sex with sex. Sure, I was an extension of Luis's dick, an animal who gave him a hot place to fuck. And at the same time, he was an extension of the sex I was feeling in my head and body. It wasn't about ego or looking pretty or winning points. It was about pleasure itself. But that is now. Back then, I was just screwing on the hot guy whose dick, bit by bit, got harder and thicker and gave every indication that it was about to cock back and blow a load. Luis pulled himself from my throat into my mouth and ordered me to wag my tongue like a dog. I was not sure what he meant, but I started wagging my tongue from side to side under the swollen, rock-hard tip of his dick. His breathing deepened and he slapped the back of my head again. My own balls tingled. I breathed roughly and could hardly wait for the sensation that I knew was about to come. Luis staggered a little, making sure to keep my head steadily lapping like a dog on the dick he'd parked inside me. He shook, and I felt my mouth fill with shot after shot of hot cum. Luis's dick was so big that I could not feel the throbs with my bottom lip. I just got wave after wave of cum. I swallowed when it threatened to run out of my mouth. After the shooting stopped, I waited. I really did not want him to let go of my head, but eventually he did, and Luis took his slowly decompressing hard-on out of my mouth as I hungrily sucked the last bit of cum off his skin. I breathed through my mouth. I looked up in stunned appreciation. We high-fived it.
That was real good, kid. Real good.
Thanks, I answered. Luis picked up his t-shirt, cleaned off his dick, and wiped the tears and spit and snot off my face. I could breathe through my nose again. As I was catching my breath, Jim's familiar dick slowly came into focus. He'd been waiting for me to come up for air, stroking his own while he watched. His gut was heaving and his eyes had that glassy, faraway look. A few strokes later, he was shooting a load into the palm of his hand.
Lick it up,
he ordered. I gladly slurped up the puddle of his cum like a hungry pig and cleaned the drops off his dick. The two men shirted up and left me in the hot, dark, sweaty exercise room alone on my knees. I had plenty of time to think about what I had just done. I was so heated up I almost jacked off, but decided not to. I knelt there for a long time, feeling my body calm down in the peak that this day had pushed me to. I could barely think for the rest of the day. That night I was home in my own room. I followed the moon through the hot summer night and thought about that episode over and over again until hot streaks of cum covered my chest and belly, awakening me to a surprising new thing. I could now, with a little effort, make myself cum without even touching myself. Dave. How to describe Dave? He was part man, part wall of flesh, part buffalo. Dave, a cryptozoophiliac's dream come true. Among ancient men, Dave would have been a thundering deity with a primitive totem in the men's lodge. He's the guy you would have wanted on your side when repelling invaders or bringing down an animal the size of a pickup truck. For me, he's the closest I came to falling in love that already memorable summer. As the summer was drawing to a close, my regular work week kept me about as satisfied as I could imagine. Sally on Mondays, Jim and sometimes Jim and Luis on Wednesdays, parties and bars on the weekends. I was going through a ton of sexual changes every few days. Sally. I always thought that Sally thought of me as her girlfriend and that my butt, as smooth as it was a substitute for the pussy she wasn't about to lick. We never got into strap-ons or cross-dressing anything, but one week she did finally talk me into shaving off all my hair except for my eyebrows. I have to say that as much as it was kind of kinky, it didn't really make that much of a difference, though I wasn't used to having a shaved head. But she liked it and managed to make it fun, so I did not really care. Jim and Luis took this opportunity to rub their balls over my head that Wednesday and to shoot their loads on my head and balls in case I needed a little aftershave. They tried to be rough guys, but their playful side was what made them worth the effort. One Friday, not long after the shaving party, in fact, I think it was that very Friday, I was checking the pump and chemical levels in the pool when I heard the gate open. I looked around and saw a hulking guy in a tank top that revealed more hair on one shoulder than I ever had. Well, anywhere. My dick twitched.
Excuse me. You're Jim and Sally's pool boy, ain't you?
I guess the fact that I was cleaning out the filters tipped him off. Big and brighter than he looked. His face was fascinating. Whenever he spoke, a big, brown, Fu Manchu mustache jumped around like a fat rabbit, pantomiming whatever he was saying. I sure am, I said, rising to my full 5'4". Can I help you with anything? Well, he said, lumbering around the pool on his thick, hairy, tree trunk legs.
Hi, I'm Dave. I live next door,
he said, extending his hand. I put my hand out and shook his. The collision of my small hands and his enormous paws was predictably funny, and we laughed a little. He towered over me, who to be about 6'4". A pair of bright green eyes looked down at me and rested on my face for about a second longer than I had expected them to. My chest heaved just a little.
I was wondering if I could hire you to clean up my pool this afternoon. I'm thinking of having a barbecue. Want to make sure it's all okay.
His voice was strong and pleasant and had a soft Texas sound to it. His round face was happy. A little stubble on the chin and cheeks surrounded his pantomime rabbit mustache. It was all balanced by the gentle curve that rounded out the shirt underneath his barrel chest. Sure, I said. I finish up here about noon. I can show up after that.
Great. I'm in the gray house next door, the place with the high fence. Just come on in through the gate that has the picture of a bear hanging on it.
Sure will.
Great. See you then. We can talk about money when you see the job.
He winked as he turned to leave. His thick, churning backside and the woolly legs it rode away on nearly pulled the eyes out of my head. Picture of a bear, I muttered to myself in amusement. I wonder how that happened. After lunch, I made my way over to Dave's, and he met me in the back pool area. He was just finishing up work on the grill. He showed me over to the pool area. We talked, agreed on a price, and I got to work. After about 2 hours, with the heat coming up, I took my shirt off and let the warm Texas air surround me. I was checking the pump when Dave came over to chat. We were both sweating.
Man, it's hot today,
he said, fanning out his tank top to circulate the air under the fabric. Sure is, I said, looking down into the pump mechanism. I heard Dave's voice saying,
Well, look at you. You're sweating like a little horse.
And then I heard Dave whinny like a horse, and I felt a single fat finger trace a line down the middle of my back, twanging off every sweaty vertebra like he was playing a xylophone. I jumped up, startled and red-faced. Dave smiled that bad boy smile of his and said really loud,
Is this pool ready to swim in yet?
Sure is, I laughed.
Well, come on, let's cool off.
As I look back over the years, I remember that moment being special for two reasons. The first was seeing Dave naked. Hands down, Dave is the hairiest man I have ever known. Second, I've never known anybody who can get out of a set of clothes faster than Dave can. I barely had time to say okay before Dave was naked, flopping a sizable package toward the pool and diving in. The splash was a flourish, a testament to his amplitude, a watery explosion of fireworks. So that's why he had the high fence. I followed him in, my naked, newly shaved body open to what looked to be yet one more adventurous perversity. I won't go into the details of how Dave talked me into his arms, because I really don't remember whether he did most of the talking or if I did. What I do remember is enough to say that if you have never been skinny dipping in the sunlight with a hairy man twice your size, you should see what you can do to correct that situation. We horsed around in the warm, sunlit water for a while. His chest and back and ass made fascinating underwater landscapes, like those coral reef scenes in nature television shows. Dave was all mounds and ridges of hair waving gently in the tropical waters while I swam around the reef looking for rare fish and giant squids or something. I dove down under to resurface right in front of him or behind him. He grabbed me in his arms and called me Flipper. He held me tight. My puny dick buried itself in the hairy mound of his belly, and I felt a warm wave of relief flow over me as he sucked the tongue from my mouth into his. At some point, we got out of the water, towelled off, left our work behind us, and raced into the bedroom. I was fascinated by Dave's body. He towered over me. He was about 38, had played lots of sports in school, and had stayed in really good shape. Well, for Texas, anyway. Barbecue has to go somewhere, you know. His belly and the layer of fat just under his skin lured me with intimations of mysterious comfort, of vast lands to explore, of safe places to pitch a tent at night. I was crawling around on his big chest, feeling the thick hair under my hands and dick and full of delight. I wondered how many times I could use this story at family gatherings. I imagined, telling my grandkids what a Sasquatch fucking madman I had been before I met their grandma.
Grandpa Mitch! Grandpa Mitch! Tell us about the time you screwed Bigfoot!
Well, okay.
That probably wouldn't happen, but the idea of a future monologue that I could use to shock and entertain the unsuspecting made screwing Dave an immediate delight. Dave pulled me out of the clouds and threw me on my back. Kneeling, he pulled my legs up and rested them against his thighs. His huge, swollen dick was rubbing against mine. He leaned into my face, pressing his lips into mine, and slowly kissed and licked his way all over me. I nearly did that come-at-will thing, but I gasped and let out a heavy sigh and watched his handsome, meaty, zoo animal face guide his rough tongue and raking mustache over my nipples, down my body, and onto my cock.
"You're so smooth,"
he said.
"It's like being with a mermaid or something."
"It's merman to you, Bigfoot," I said, grabbing his longish hair and shaking his head over my belly. He laughed and said in a crazy voice,
"Merman and Yeti are friends."
His mouth lowered, covered my dick and balls, and nearly brought me to an exploding touchdown. Dave sensed my body's reaction and pulled his mouth off.
"Hang on, buddy. You're not coming that fast."
I was relieved. I could have done this forever, stuffing my dick into that licking tongue, scraping, stubble brushing, mustache triple play of his. Dave flipped me over on my belly, put a pillow under my hips, pulled my cheeks apart, and buried his face into my butt. Now, I'd kinda gotten used to this sort of thing after being Sally's kinda lesbian boy girlfriend all summer, but Dave, as I mentioned, was made of different material than most people are, and his abominable snowman sex drive had me reeling. By the time Dave finished swirling his tongue around and fingering my hole, I was happily anticipating what it would feel like to take Dave up there. So it was a surprise to me to hear him whisper into my ear,
"You think that you could do that for me, buddy?"
A few acrobatics later, and my face was buried in Dave's huge, firm ass. He groaned with delight. He squeezed and hugged my face with his furry glutes. I reached under his huge balls, grabbed his dick, and squeezed what I could hold of it. I caressed his big, furry cheeks and pressed my chest into one of his thighs while I worked my face and tongue deep into the summer forest mystery of his sparkling, clean Texas ass. For all his success in life, I found that when he was in bed, Dave was not a goal-oriented kind of guy. As horny as we both were, we've just spent loads of time rolling around bedside, under and on top of each other, and having the greatest time. Maybe part of that urge to play was because we were so different from each other, but I think Dave loved what magazines call foreplay, and he could rest easy wearing the foreplay king crown. Dave was an all-summer kind of fun. I have to confess that I'm having a hard time ending the story, even though I know exactly how it ends and what we did to each other that first night together, just because remembering Dave is so much fun. Though there have been other men, other women, and wilder times, with Dave there's something homely and fulfilling, so that listing out all the things we did together, especially that can of cling peaches and heavy syrup, really can't capture the fact that you can only ever have sex like that with Dave. The memory lingers, maybe a little too long. Maybe Dave was so big because he was a reservoir for all the world's happiness, and so he had to be big. And maybe I can't end the story now because all that happiness just doesn't want to go back into the past that it came from, and that's okay with me. Dave's final act of valor was to stand me up in front of him while he sat cross-legged on the floor, his dick pointing straight up at me and his mouth about level with my dick. Those sparkling green eyes looked up at me and that big tongue started lapping my balls and belly and rooting around the stubble left over from my shaving. The feeling of his stubble on mine was amazing. Then his lips reached out and guided my dick. I watched myself disappear into his powerful prize Angus bull face. I braced myself, I groaned, and I had to close my eyes to remember how to breathe. I can't detail how delicious that felt. Something about Dave's tongue had magic powers that other tongues do not have. Maybe because it was larger, or rougher, or maybe it was made of some primitive substance that had been bred out of most humans after we started learning to use tools. I don't know. I just know that my body started lurching, my breath sank to a nearly desperate gasp, and I shot a load of cum so big that it hurt my dick to push it out. and I did the same thing two more times before we fell asleep in that big bed of his with its 8 pillows and 1 extra large towel. My commute to work got a lot easier after that party at Dave's. I moved in with him for the last few months of summer. Jim and Sally and Luis and I never really talked about the arrangements. Things just worked, and we all got along. When October came, and the summer officially ended, Dave had one last barbecue at his place, and I packed my bags to move on to the next adventure. That's how it all happened. And that was the last part of the story, Does D Mean Four Ways?, written by Stuart Oakland, and published in 100% Beef magazine. Thanks so much to Scott McGillivray for permission for reading this story. And check out Beef magazine on the web at beefmag.com. And in response to that story, Does D Mean Four Ways? Here is a letter from our friend R. Jackson. Dear editor at 100% Beef, issue number 46 is one of your hottest yet. Aside from the hot men and the usual columnists, especially that cute and cantankerous scamp, Chris Witke, I particularly appreciated your inclusion of a short fiction with a bisexuality theme, and I enjoyed the story called Does D Mean Four Ways? By Stuart Oakland. Having edited an anthology of bi men's fiction, I'm sure you appreciate my assessment of the quality of the piece. I wonder why you felt necessary to preface the piece with a content warning that advised readers beforehand that the story described explicit bisexual situations. It's rather sad to think that your readers are so narrow-minded that they couldn't appreciate a well-written story like that without some sort of disclaimer. WTF? Isn't this a piece of erotic fiction in an adult men's magazine? Or are your readers really children who have to be told to close their eyes before they might see the big bad cunt getting fucked? If you look at the character development in the story, however, it reinforces the idea that bisexuality is just a phase that some men, like Andrew Sullivan, say they're going through on their way to being gay. In this case, the protagonist, the main character, goes from being the dominant male to being the passive gay partner over the course of his experience, and that transformation is part of what makes the story compelling. Believe me, if you had any doubt, let me inform you that lots of bi-identified men read not only 100% Beef, but the other bear and daddy-themed magazines as well. A bi-bear publishes one of them. Although some readers may not be aware of it, you have a significant number of bi readers, and although the thought of het sex may wilt the willies of your more vaginophobic readers, I want to say that there are many readers of Beef who avidly want to read about men who love sex with both men and women because it specifically turns us on. In other words, I guess fair warning is okay, but let me tell your readers this. If you call yourself an adult man and can't bear to read a terrific story like Mr. Oakland's piece without gagging, you need to examine the deep-rooted misogynistic prejudices that underlie your aversion to pussy. And get over it. Yours, R. Jackson.
But I'm gay! I don't like vaginas!
In the August 2010 issue of The Advocate magazine, themed A Day in Gay America, it should have been more properly Day in Gay White Male America, but in any case, I noticed the picture of a big old bear who happens to work in the U.S. House of Representatives. His name is Joe Novotny, and there's a picture of him carrying what looks to be embossed letters down a rather nice-looking hall. And it says here, Joe Novotny, the first out reading clerk for the U.S. House of Representatives, executes one of his duties, quote, to deliver engrossed and enrolled bills to the Senate. I truly love what I do, and I always remind myself how fortunate I am to work in the Capitol. So I'm not sure if he's beer identified, but he certainly looks the part. And there's also an interview with him in The Advocate. Joe Novotny has spent his entire career on Capitol Hill. He's been a congressional page, chief clerk for the House Education and Labor Committee, and now, as reading clerk for the House of Representatives, he's one of the most visible people in Washington. If you tune in to C-SPAN to watch a House debate, chances are that you'll see Novotny, 34, the first openly gay House reader, introduce a bill by reading it aloud. He also marks any adjustments. Novotny speaks about what it's like to be part of this House of Firsts, which includes his bosses, Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Clerk Lorraine Miller, the first woman and first African-American to hold their respective positions. Question: what's a typical day like for you? There's one other reading clerk, Susan Cole, so every other day we take turns with opening and closing the day. Our days are typically anywhere from 12 to 14 hours when the House is in session. I'm responsible for overseeing what is coming up that day, going over all of the bills and resolutions. I also have to keep track of everything that passes, so if there's a bill that has amendments, I have to physically insert it appropriately into the bill. Basically, we're following what's happening on the House floor and then physically taking the bills over to the Senate. Question: what was the interview like for the job? It was a little intimidating. They put you on the House floor with the TV lights with about five or six things to read. They're looking for delivery, tone, how you convey the legislation, and how you present overall. Question: are you ever tempted to give a little commentary to bills you don't agree with? Never. He laughs. It's a simple task, but it's important to just get it right. Question: does it feel like you've broken a glass ceiling? I feel tremendously proud to represent the community as the first gay reading clerk. I'm representing the Speaker of the House, I'm representing the Clerk of the House, all of the members, because I am truly there to convey who they are and what they do. It means a lot for some people to see me and think, wow, that guy is gay. And he's just being himself. And look at how far he got. I must add that I'm very proud to have Joe representing the bear community as well. I have a picture of Joe up on the website, so check it out. Shoutouts to the Merman. Thanks to Joe of Bear Radio, and as always, to my husband, Rocco. A special shout out to David Taylor, who is just celebrating his 10-year anniversary of being on the cover of Bear Magazine. He now has a bed and breakfast in Little Falls, New York. The Inn at Stone Mill got great reviews on Pink Choice, and you can find out more about them at The Inn at Stone Mill. There's a link on the blog. Thanks for listening to Bear Soup with Ron Serratia, episode number 77. Check out the Bear Soup page on my homely little home blog, www.ronserratia.com, spelled RONSURESHA. Bear Soup is produced for the Bear Radio Network, which is not responsible for the content of this podcast. Bubbles for the Bear Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bare Bones Books. Please check out their fine titles by Bear authors at barebonesbooks.com, spelled BEARBONESBOOKS. Please look for Bear Soup and Bare Bones Books also on Facebook. Feel free to email me at bearsoup@gmail.com. And always remember, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.